This is where Boston talks hockey. The Sports Hub Hockey Show on the home of the Bees, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome in to round two. It's the Sports Hub Hockey Show on a Saturday morning. We are here with you until 11 o'clock, getting you ready for the 3 o'clock faceoff today with the Bruins and the Tampa Bay Lightning in game one of their best of seven series here in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Ryan Johnston, joined by Billy Jaffe of who is having a tough time figuring out how to work a set of headphones this morning.
Into a fight with the headphones. What did you do to this ear?
It flips around. There you go. Those are like club headphones, so the DJ can just flip one ear around.
Meanwhile, now I've got the headphones on. I'm not plugged in.
So they fit, but they don't actually, you're not actually hearing anything. That's good.
There we go.
We got it. Thank you. You got a producer running in here to try to help you plug in your headphones.
I like the morning. I am psyched. I hope everybody out there listening to is psyched. Awesome day outside. Awesome day.
Going to be a great day.
Awesome day.
This is one of those days. You know what? This is a good day to find yourself a bar with some open air to it.
You know what?
Go
find
and watch
yourself
the game.
Your patio that you've been dying to get on, too.
That's a good way to do it, too.
70 degrees today, give or take, depending where you are. I won't give you my forecast. You know, I could do the weather person thing, but I'm not going to. But it's going to be gonna be a beautiful day in the greater New England area.
This is what it's supposed to feel like.
When
you get into playoff hockey, right. This is what it's supposed to feel like.
Right.
Now, down in Tampa, it feels like this all the time.
But right.
when the Bruins get to the second round, this is what the weather's supposed to be.
Exactly. And this is, this is what it feels like, though, when you're in spring in the playoffs. And last year, we had a little bit, albeit not enough, just a six-round series against Ottawa, a valiant effort. This year, the boys figured out a way, the Bees figured out a way to get it out, get it done in seven, which not many people were surprised that it would take seven. Maybe how we got through those seven games, that was the discouraging, disheartening, surprising, whatever term you want to use part. Right now, I'm not discouraged. I wasn't disheartened. Sure, I'm like, oh, God, I would have loved to have seen them put it away in six, for sure. But they didn't. And if you don't respect the playoffs, here's the funny thing. You go into it saying, we expect this long series. But yet when it becomes a long series, it's like, oh, geez, what the hell happened?
Well,
right?
I mean, expectations change. Once you're up 3-1, expectations have changed, right? You, as you said, you want them to put it away.
Should they? So all of a sudden you have a two-game losing streak and your team sucks?
Well, it depends on who around here you're talking to. But
true, good point.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, we both said before the series, we expected it was going to go seven.
Yeah.
That the Bruins, we both thought that the Bruins would win, but that this was going to go seven. So that's not a surprise. I think the way that some of those games went, you would have liked to have.
Five stunk.
Game five stunk.
For the first half.
Yep.
To me, and I said this, RJ, and I think we talked about it on our Extra Shift podcast, that the series, if they ended up losing it, would come down to, and if we didn't, forgive me for saying that we did, but would come down to two things. Response goals allowed, because they always allowed these goals quickly by Toronto through six games. Oh, my God. That was a kick in the ass. That was all the time. Actually, it was a kick on the front side, if you know what I mean. Every time Toronto responded. But the other thing was the start of game five. That's what I thought it would come down to. Because you can play the game of if and could and would and should and all that stuff. But the third period of Game 5 was so dominant. If you just started like that, and I know I don't really actually like playing this game, but I'll do it, they would have won. But they didn't. So, anyways, they didn't. They figured it out with a dominant third period again in Game 7. Dominant third period has been the theme of their season, one of their themes since mid-November.
But that also, as the season has gone on and we've seen more and more of that, we've also said at the same time, like, when you get into the playoffs, you can't be relying on that night in and night out because you're playing against better teams and you're playing against, you know, guys who are going full speed
more
every single
too,
night.
And they're as desperate as you are. So, to your point, they couldn't live on that in the Game 5. But they did live on it in Game 7. Now, in Game 5, they were down 3 at different times in the game. That was maybe different. In Game 5, in Game 7, they were down just 1 heading into the third period. So, a little shorter comeback necessary. But they dominated. They dominated again in the third.
But ultimately, you know, when we were coming down the stretch of this regular season and sizing up the potential playoff matchup.
Yeah.
Toronto was the matchup that scared me more than anybody else. You know, and I...
You know why?
What?
Because that's the first round. It's the first round.
No, but not even that. You know, look, I... Just the...
This matchup scares the hell out of me, too.
Well, it does, but you know what? I think I like this matchup for the Bruins better than I liked the matchup against Toronto.
Because you beat them 3 out of 4 in the regular season?
It's not even just...
It better not be, because if you're using that
just,
logic,
no, but,
then Toronto should have won the series.
Well, that's true. But you also played Tampa down the stretch in meaningful games where you were playing against, you know, you were playing against them in games that mattered. Like games that where the division was on the line, mm-hmm. and the Bruins rose to the occasion. Mm-hmm. I mean, they played mm-hmm. really well
yeah.
against this team, and that's I looked at that at the time and said, I know they can play with
Do you
this
think
team
that
in the playoffs.
The Bruins respected Tampa more than Toronto. See, I think they
yeah,
did.
Probably.
I think they did when it was all said and done, and that doesn't mean that they didn't think Toronto was good. Just there wasn't that thing just yet. Now next year, if the Bruins play Toronto, they're going to respect them even more.
Oh, sure.
We're going to absolutely bring it up that nth degree to the higher level respect. I don't know, man. This matchup, I look at it, and I'm not going to get overly caught up in two things. One, the regular season series. I'm sorry, I'm not. As well as the Bruins played against them, I'm not going to get caught up in it. Because for Tampa, they've got a ton of experience on that team. A ton of experience. If you go through that lineup, I mean, I love what they've done to the fourth line there. I do. I mean, it's a little bit older than the Bruins' fourth line with mm-hmm. Kunitz on the left side and Callahan on the right. But you better believe there's a whole lot of playoff experience nasty there. And by the way, that's one thing we're going to see more in this series than we did in Series 1 was nasty. Playoff nastiness.
Well, that was missing from the Toronto series.
And it absolutely was.
How much of that do you think was – I mean, we saw Game 1 – we saw the Kadri hit and Komarov.
That was stupidest.
Yes.
Okay.
But he was out for a good chunk of the series.
Right.
Komarov missed a good chunk of the series. How? Like, is that what was missing? They just
didn't help. Didn't help that.
Because there were a lot of games in that series where it didn't feel like that normal playoff hatred that we usually see build up over a seven-game series.
Outside of those two guys, there isn't a lot of that element on the team. Like, Roman Polak is a tough son of a gun, a beast of a man. You ask guys that play against him, pound for pound, one of the strongest men in the NHL. Absolutely, he's a beast. But he's not nasty. Mm. He'll scrap. Not fight, but he'll scrap. You know what I mean? We saw it with Backes and stuff, but it's not nasty. Kadri has that chippiness to him. Komarov has that annoyance factor to him, but it's still not the MO of that team. This team in Tampa has guys that want to absolutely get at you. Now, they're fourth liners per se. I mentioned Callahan. I mentioned Kunitz. How about Paquette? He can be a rat out there.
Sure.
We've seen that, and he's going to be against the Bruins. They got some other players too. Point is as great as a player as he is. He'll dish it a little bit out there. He's not big, but so what? But anyway, so I'm not going to get caught up in the season series that the Bruins did very well in against the Lightning. And I'm not going to get caught up in the same stretch of the Tampa Bay Lightning winning in 5 over New Jersey and saying, oh, they're awesome now. They're good. They're very good. And I think, by the way, that New Jersey is a good team, but and I thought they'd give the Bruins – I thought the Bruins would beat Tampa, Jersey if they played them. I still thought it would be a 6-game series against New Jersey if the Bruins played them. I did. Tampa, though, had a favorable matchup. They played more physical against New Jersey, and I think they were able to play more physically against Jersey because New Jersey isn't the most physical team, especially on the back end, and that's where you can get after them. Toronto's a better version of New Jersey right now. They are. They're better. So the Bruins tried to get a little physical. They did at times, but it wasn't crazy. And then when they got off their game and they got spread out, they got gapped out in the neutral zone, they got in trouble. But I'm not going to get caught up with Toronto or Tampa all of a sudden being this end-all, be-all because they beat New Jersey in five. As much respect as I have what they've done in New Jersey, it's still off a little bit, you know, from being real successful. With all that said, I think it's a hell of a series. Would it surprise me if this one went the distance? Not at all. Not at all.
617-779-0985.
And when
we
hear from people, yep. I'd like, you know, hey, I'd like to know where you're watching the game today. It's a 3 o'clock game.
Yes.
3 o'clock on NBC. By the way, I'm just reminding you, we got a live hour pregame show on Nesson. So we got a full thing going on Nesson, and then we got full postgame too. But starting on Nesson at 2 o'clock, we're going to have all your pregame, better coverage than you're getting anywhere else on TV.
The Patriots will have traded out, you know, of the of the sixth and seventh rounds by then.
They will be accruing picks in 2034.
All right, we just get started here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. We're going to check in with some of the guys down in Tampa coming up, and your calls, of course, welcome throughout. It is the Sports Hub Hockey Show here on a Saturday morning as we get ready for Game 1.
This is where Boston talks hockey. The Sports Hub Hockey Show on the home of the Bees. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston joined in studio by Billy Jaffe for the full 2 hours today. And we will begin our check-ins down in Tampa with Bob Beers, color analyst for the Bruins Radio Network. What's up, Beersy?
Morning, guys. How we doing?
Doing well. Excited. I'm sure the weather down there is at least as good as it is up here this morning. So
at least.
First, before we get to the matchup against Tampa Bay, your thoughts on the Bruins as they finished out that series last week, and you know, obviously they found another gear in the third period in Game 7, as we've seen them do that for much of the season. How do you feel coming out of that series after having seen this team, as it's comprised, go through a grueling best of seven?
Well, hard to kind of compare the series, right? I mean, every series is going to be a little bit different. You come out of that one, and there are certain things that you want to improve on. There's certain things that you liked about what your team did, and that changes from game to game throughout a series. But you're playing the same team game after game after game, and there's adjustments made within the game. There's adjustments made from game to game. So there's a lot of things that go on. You know, teams try to shut down certain things. You try to exploit the other team's weaknesses. And then it all changes, or not all of it, but, you know, some of it changes when you move on to the next round. I mean, you're playing against a whole different set of people. You're playing against, a different opponent who plays a different style, a different way. So, you know, a lot of it is based on what you do throughout a game, but it's also the adjustments that you make, you know, based on that opponent. So what I take from that series, you know, there were certain things that you look at. Certainly the speed of Toronto was something that the Bruins had to be aware of, and I think they were for the most part. They tried to take away time and space of some of those Toronto forwards. That's something that's going to try to carry over here against Tampa Bay and going to be very important against them. You know, when the Bruins had success against them in the regular season, they were able to take away a lot of that time and space with some of their skilled guys, and that's something that they're going to try to do, you know, throughout this series. And that's true with any team that you play, really. But how they do it, and you know, how they control the middle of the ice, how they attack Tampa, you know, how they defend Tampa, that's going to be something maybe a little bit different from what we saw against Toronto.
How about something a little different as well, Beersy, which I think is going to happen? Tell me if you think is going to happen. We're going to get some playoff nasty finally in this series when you got guys, you know, like Kunitz and Callahan. I'm looking at the opponent more so than you saw with Toronto. Yes, Kadri was out a bit. Yeah, I know Komarov was out a bit. I still don't know if those guys have the element of nasty to them. I feel like some of the experienced players of Tampa do, and I think that should resonate. First of all, it's fun to watch. Second of all, I think that increases the intensity.
Certainly a real possibility. Yeah, the guys that you mentioned, throw Paquette in there.
Yeah.
He's the guy that runs around quite a bit. I think that there's certainly a real good opportunity for that, especially early in the series, just like you saw against Toronto. You know, you saw a little undisciplined play early in the series. The emotions got the better of a guy like Kadri, and, you know, the Bruins benefited from it, not only on the power play, but, you know, not having him three games. So, you know, you also have to be a little bit careful about what you're doing. I mean, even Kucherov got into it last game, you know, throwing his weight around. Sergachev, you know, and Boyle got into it last round with New Jersey. So There's going to be that element, I think, especially early in a series. And then as the series wears on, you know, how do teams' power plays react? And then certainly that had an effect on Toronto, that they didn't want to take penalties against Boston as that series wore on. And it was pretty obvious. I mean, especially up in Toronto, they barely took any penalties. And, you know, because they felt that that Boston's power play was killing them. So there's adjustments that are made there. But early in the series, game one, yeah, I expected a lot. And that's generally when it happens. And then it kind of settles down most of the time, not all the time. But most of the time, it'll kind of settle into less of the hitting, I guess, but or less of the running around, trying to throw that big hit all the time, and more of just, you know, what you have to do in order to be successful.
You mentioned the way that series built against Toronto and the emphasis that they put on trying to play more disciplined and stay out of the penalty box. You got two really good power play teams in this series. How do you look at the special teams matchup between these two?
Yeah, similar to last one, because I thought, you know, Toronto's power play was very potent as well. The difference, I think, between Tampa and Toronto is that Tampa's probably a little bit better at killing penalties. In fact, in the first round, they were very strong at killing penalties against New Jersey. Now, does that translate into the second round? Not necessarily. Every round has its own personality, so to speak. So, you know, you kind of go at it where, you know, was New Jersey's power play as strong as Boston's? Probably not. So now, you know, Tampa has to be better in that area than they were maybe in round one. But their power play is certainly capable. Kalorn around the front of the net, just because he had four goals in that series. But there's guys around the perimeter who can do the job. And Kucherov's, you know, body work speaks for itself. Stamkos, and the list goes on. You know, they're a pretty deep team up front. And then they're controlled on the back end from Victor Hedman and Ryan McDonagh. And, you know, one thing that surprised me was that Victor Hedman didn't have any points in that opening round. So he's kind of due right now. He averaged 26, 27 minutes a night during that first round series against New Jersey. And to come out of it with no points is kind of, that really surprised me to see that. McDonagh had a few points from the back end, but they're a deep team, and, you know, from a defensive standpoint, the Bruins have to be aware of their power play and how explosive it can be, and I think that works on Tampa's end as well. They realize that they can't take too many penalties either.
All right, Bearsy, I know what's one of the old sports cliches you hear when you're a kid, fear nobody, respect them all type of thing, right? I mean, yep. So I won't ask you who you fear from Tampa, but, you know, a lot of Bruins people, self-included, and I always thought Mitch Marner was great. I thought he re-elevated himself to a different status in the series we just went through, Bearsy. Who do you respect the most from Tampa? Who do you look at and say, oh, man, you know what? This guy or these two guys got my antenna up.
You can imagine. I mean, I'm a defenseman, so Victor Hedman. I think he's just a phenomenal player. He can control the game. He's a big, big guy. But he can skate, and he can, you know, he can be physical when he wants to, but he controls the game from the back end. And you're going to see him, you know, if last round was any indication, you're going to see him 26, 27 minutes. And now that they add Ryan McDonagh to that mix, that makes him all that much more deep or deeper. And McDonagh took a little while to get his footing in Tampa because he missed the first few games because of an injury. Then he, you know, it took him a few games to really get going. They made an adjustment because they had McDonagh playing with Girardi. Mm-hmm. And that was the same pair that played in New York. And I don't know why they put them together because they didn't really work towards the end of New York. They flipped that now. It's going to be Stroman, it looks like, with McDonagh. Unless they make some change today. But it was Stroman and McDonagh as a shutdown pair. And then that frees up Victor Hedman. He'll play with Girardi. He'll play with a few different guys throughout. But, you know, it frees him up to kind of do some things offensively. He'll still be good defensively. So, you know, I look at it from the back end, how they try to control it. I mean, Vasilevsky's obviously going to be key for them, as is Rask for the Bruins. Forwards-wise, you know, Billy, I mean, it's just you see all the usual suspects. I guess if I had to go off the board a little bit, you know, it might be a Kalorn. He had the four goals in the first round. He's a big body that gets to the front of the net, and that's something that the Bruins have to be conscious of. I mean, they got a lot of guys that can hurt you, young guys. Point
is awesome.
You know, it goes on. And Palat's come back from injury now, and he's playing strong. Tyler Johnson's had playoff success. JT Miller was a pickup. I mean, where do you want me to stop? There's guys that you have to respect on that group, and it's going to be a great series, I think, between the two.
For the Bruins offensively, the Bergeron line had some huge games during that Toronto series, and even in the games where they weren't scoring, oftentimes they were, you know, generating some scoring chances. But I think there's not too many people would argue that Tampa Bay is better defensively than Toronto is. So if you're the Bruins and you are approaching this offensively, how do you make sure that those guys can still generate their chances?
I think that they're going to generate their chances no matter what. They're a good line. They're awfully tough to contain for 60 minutes. So they're going to generate their chances, and it's a matter of what they do with those chances. I look down the Bruins' depth and how the rest of the lines are going to be, because I think that that line will be fine. You know, they'll go through their ups and downs, you know, where they'll try to do a little bit too much, and, you know, they're reluctant to kind of dump the puck in maybe when they should and try to make plays, some higher-risk plays once in a while, but they're also capable of doing that. But the other lines, you know, what do they generate 5-on-5? You know, what does David Krejci's line have to offer? Of course, Jake DeBrusk had a great game 7. He actually had a very good series. You know, can Rick Nash break through with some more points and some more offense here in this series to go along with his strong defensive play? You know, does Riley Nash, does he shake off that rust from his injury and him, Backes, and Heinen become a factor? We know the fourth line is going to work extremely hard. So I look at, you know, and it sounds like, at least based on reports down here from Tampa, we'll see when the puck gets dropped, that it's Point and Palat and Johnson that are going to play against the Bergeron line. Mm-hmm. And you most likely see McDonough and Stralman as a matchup against them. So, you know, I think that those lines can, you know, to work at it. But I do think that the Bergeron line is a better line, and they can generate those chances. Now it comes down to the depth of the Bruins.
What about, Bob, from your experience and just perhaps your instinct in this series, one team has been off for just under a week. The other team's off for a couple of days, and not even really. You know, you get your one day off after the series, and you're on the plane again going down to practice there. It's a different climate, a different atmosphere. So the rest versus no rest, concern, not concerned, not sure. You have to wait and see. Where you at on it, Beersy?
I'm not so concerned, especially for game one. Billy, it's, you know, there's adrenaline running in game one. I mean, if you're not ready to play the first game of the series, you know, it's you know, I mean, there's, I guess, a sense of do the Bruins take a deep breath after the Toronto series and mm-hmm. you know, be relaxed and say, you know, we got through it, we got, you know, past that game seven, and be relaxed here in game one, or are they, you know, built up for this one? I think that they're going to be built up. I think Tampa, you know, there may be a little rust on their game, but I don't know. I don't read a whole lot into that. Now, as the series wears on, maybe it has an effect, but because, you know, you went through a 7-game series and Tampa played 2 less games. But I think here for game one, both teams are going to be ready. Both teams will be flying. You know, I hope that the Bruins are as sharp as they were in the third period of game 7, not so much in the second period or maybe even earlier on in that game. And I expect Tampa to be good. They're such a quality team. Their confidence is higher now than maybe it was at one point late in the season when they were struggling to find wins. You know, Vasilevsky looked a little tired. They've gotten beyond that. They've gotten accustomed to having JT Miller and Ryan McDonough in their lineup now. So I think that they're riding a pretty good wave of confidence coming into this one.
Hey, Beersy, I want you to go back to put your playing day cap on for a second here. So much is made about goaltending in the playoffs. We're in a city where goaltending gets all the focus in the world. And we saw it with Toronto and Anderson and everything too. But just in general, from a D-man's perspective, since that's what you played, what's going through your head when you don't have as much confidence in your netminder? Is there something for fans to keep an eye on? I don't know. I'm just trying to get into the head of a guy who's a defenseman. You know, I can talk a little bit about being a forward, but from a D-man's perspective, when a guy isn't as, you know, secure about his netminder, and I'm not picking on any one guy in particular out there, I'm just saying, what are you thinking? What are you doing? Yeah, it doesn't impact you.
I understand, Billy. First of all, I don't think that's the case with the Bruins.
I don't either. Right? Okay. I'm with you.
As much as people want to make a lot of that, I think that there is full confidence in their goaltender. Now, he needs to be better. There's no question. But from my perspective, mm-hmm. it's there have been goaltenders I've played in front of that, yeah, you might not have that confidence.
Right.
So, you know, how does he play? Does he play the puck well? Does he control his rebounds? Is he all over the place, or is he in control? And that's going to affect maybe how you play a little bit. You know, are you trying to take away the middle of the ice more so, you know, which you try to do anyhow, but, you know, are you more conscious of it? Are you more aware of it? Do you let guys stand in front, or do you try to clear them out? In other words, if the guy gets mm-hmm. body position on you in front, you know, do you kind of leave him alone, give him a little whack here and there, and then try to control the outside to make sure that those pucks don't get to the middle? If you have a goaltender that doesn't control his rebounds well, you know, you have to be aware after the first shot's taken, or more aware after the first shot's taken. Is your goaltender aggressive? Does he come way out? If that's the case, you got to take away the back door. So it's all different based on how the goaltender plays. And and how he's playing at that time. So, yeah, there is a confidence factor in your goaltender, and the goaltender, conversely, has to have confidence in you. And I think that that's really important, you as a team defense, and know that you have his back if he's going to be aggressive, that you've got that backdoor pass. So kind of goes hand in hand how they play off of one another. But, you know, I go back to it. I don't think that that's the case right now for the Bruins. I think that they have full confidence, and they're going to ride that right now. And, you know, that, and now it's up to Tuukka to be better, certainly better than he was in the first series.
All right, Bob Beers from Tampa will be listening this afternoon for a 3 o'clock faceoff. Appreciate
okay,
the time.
Guys. Thanks.
See you, Beers.
All right.
I can tell you from a – I don't know if we have time from a forwards perspective.
Hang on a second because we're late to get to the headlines. Sorry. We'll get to that, and then we can talk about whatever it is you got on your mind coming up next.
I got a lot on my mind.
It's the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Stick around.
This is where Boston talks hockey. The Sports Hub Hockey Show on the home of the Bees. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub and the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston and Billy Jaffe with you. 617-779-0985.
Yep.
Do you remember what you had on your mind when we finished up with Beers? You were about to...
What I was going to say is, from a forwards perspective, when you don't have as much that confidence in the netminder, what you're, it can go one of two ways. So it brings you deeper into the zone. There's more of that desperation, almost panic. I got to help block shots more. I need to be lower I need to be in certain areas more so than perhaps I'd like to be if I have more confidence in my netminder. Mm. Or on the other hand, if you're having to outscore the opponent, some guys start cheating. I'm going to get going the other way. And that's almost worse because now you're not taking care of your own end, helping out.
You always have to take care of your own end.
Always.
It's very important.
First and foremost.
Life lesson. Yes. Always take care of your own end. let's grab a call here because it's going to lead us into where a lot of people are concerned in this series.
Oh,
so,
boy.
Maria in Watertown is up first here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Good morning, Maria.
I haven't had my
breakfast. Good morning, guys.
Yet.
How are you today?
Good. How are you?
First things first, breakfast is on me next Saturday morning.
All right.
I won't be here.
And I guess I want to kind of spearhead where the conversation is going, because it was a very frustrating topic for me this week, that after watching the Bruins win a game 7, that immediately after the game began, started by some talk show hosts on your radio station, Ryan, the narrative going totally dumping into Tuukka, winning despite Tuukka, and which I find like mind-boggling, and it seems like we have short-term memories, because were it not for Tuukka in game 3, I think the Bruins would have lost that game, and we might be talking about something
game
totally
four, you mean.
Right.
Different
game four.
Today.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's number one. Number two, there have been comparisons made with teams that have won with average goalies. I'd like to know where those average goalies are right now, because our goalie and our team is moving on to round 2, and some of those goalies are home playing golf right now.
This
guy is damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. The entire team played like hot garbage for the first 2 periods of game 7, yet the blame always goes to Tuukka. And it's just beyond ridiculous. And to me, it's a lazy, lame take.
All right. Appreciate the call,
I
Maria.
I disagree about being lazy and lame, because it is the easiest thing to do. Did he have to be better? Of course he did. Of course he did. But there's no more polarizing sports figure in this city than Tuukka Rask. Name one that's more polarizing.
There isn't. And for me, it's gotten to detract from the team aspect of the game, which is like, look, you can go and break down every goal and try to figure out, is it Tuukka's fault or is it not Tuukka's fault?
Most of these guys yapping about it don't know what they're talking about. And so it's the easiest thing to pick on.
But it's like, I mean, if a goalie gives up a power play goal that gets deflected through his legs, that's not on the goalie.
Yes, it is. I want him to stop everything.
Well, that's great.
Everything.
Find me the goaltender who stops everything.
I want Carey Price. Oh, wait, where is Carey Price? But his team sucked. Okay, so what is it? Is it Carey Price's right. fault, or is it his team's fault?
Well, I mean, for years, didn't we hear that about Rask? Was that it was the system, right? It was Claude's system that was right. making him, you know, he was a Vezina winner. So, like, that was the system.
Go back to the first, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but round or two and 11 with Tim Thomas. Wasn't pretty. I mean, there was a good round, or it was a bad round. As you go later, actually, in the playoffs, it was something like, if you remember against Tampa, didn't they give up like something 16 goals in four games or something like that? I'm sorry, I suck with numbers, but Thomas had some issues in some games too. But yet he was a competitor, he was a battler, and yeah, he won. And yet he won. And so I get that. I get it. I can make some other comparisons. Go back a couple of years when the Chicago Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup in 15. And you want to, and this is a Stanley Cup winning netminder in Corey Crawford. He got his butt handed to him. You know why? He got pulled in the first round against Nashville twice. Scott Darling got pulled. The Blackhawks, to use Maria's term, were hot garbage. They were awful, including their netminders.
Let me give you this Tim Thomas 2011
yeah.
Against Tampa, the series you just referenced. Lost game one, gave up four goals.
Yeah.
Won game two, gave up five goals.
Yeah. Lucky.
Shut out in game three. He got a shutout
right.
in game three.
Yeah.
Game four, gave up four goals and lost.
Stunk.
Game five, one goal against, one.
Claude's system.
Game six, five goals against and a loss.
Stunk.
And pitched a shutout in game seven.
Claude's system.
So in three of the wins, no goals, no goals, one goal, and he won a game where he gave up five goals. In the losses, he gave up four, four, and five.
I'd love to hear certain hosts around the
country. But it was the greatest goaltender performance in the history of the NHL.
I'd love to hear what people said about Grant Fuhr during his time with Edmonton.
Where he was giving up like
7-5, yeah. They went east. It was unbelievable. At that time, it was still okay because they won. Can't make a big save. He didn't look good. Neither did Freddie Anderson. And all of a sudden, see, we go from one. I don't know. I think there's something glorious about mistakes and breakdowns. I mean, you get these sports moments because basically of some mistakes, some peak performances. You know what I mean? I mean, if we want perfection out of one guy all the time in sports, then why don't we hold other guys to that?
Right.
How come it's okay to make certain mistakes?
You know, why doesn't Marchand get crucified for that breakaway, for getting knocked to the ice on that breakaway? You know, why? Because he's Brad Marchand.
I get it.
Because he can make up for it.
Hey, I'll tell you something. One of the most one of the most perfect hockey players I've seen in my life is Patrice Bergeron. Notice I said Bergeron, because I heard that a lot. The Canadians in town, Bergeron. He made mistakes in the series. He kind of covers them with other things, but he made some mistakes. And you know what he would say? It's part of hockey.
Yep.
I learned from it. But, because he comes through. He does. He scored goals. Anyways, I know. Thank you, Maria, for starting us off.
So, to that end.
Yes.
Rask versus Vasilevsky.
All right. Well, Vasilevsky did struggle during the last quarter of the season. You know, there was some contention that he was playing too much. I also think some of it had to do with the fact that his team, they knew they were in the playoffs from about mid-November on. They just did. They played that well. I don't know if he pulled back mentally, Ryan, but I don't think the whole team was as sharp. This is his first full year as the go-to guy. I mean, the big man, and yep. He is a big man. He's not Ben Bishop big, but he's 6'3", 200-something. He's a hell of an athlete. First-round pick, by the way, folks, from years ago. And he was groomed for this. This is what they wanted all along. That's hence why a season and a half ago, they traded Bishop. That's why they felt they had this guy. I thought he played well against New Jersey. I thought he played very well. And I think he will see a much different offensive look from the Boston Bruins, and hopefully can get him moving more. I would think that he, he did elevate his game in the first round to a different level than Tuukka Rask did in the first round consistently. you know, he had five games. Tuukka needed seven games. If we're going mano a mano right there, I think that these are two, you know, physically big. Vasilevsky's bigger. He's wider a little bit. These are two goaltenders that I do think that the series in many ways may come down to which one of these guys makes the extra save.
Well, hearing Bruce Cassidy on Tutcher and Rich yesterday morning, he was talking about how, like, he's anticipating that there's going to be some high scoring games in this series. I don't know how you can't.
I could see it. You know, I absolutely could see it.
And look, that doesn't mean that either of the goaltenders is going to play poorly either. If there's some high scoring games in this series, you've got a lot of firepower in this series.
Yeah. Again, just like the first series, these two teams are great special teams, but great power plays, which, okay, depending on how many we see in the series, but also just in general, I mean, you're talking on we know about Boston, but on Tampa, in no particular order, guys with 25 or more goals, you know, you got Stamkos, Kucherov, Point, Yanni Gourde, and then you've got other guys that were clipping at it in JT Miller. Granted, he was a trade acquisition. Kalorn.
Tyler Johnson.
He
20 plus goals.
What did he
had finished with 21.
21. There you go. And he did start out slow.
He's a good player.
I'm a big fan of his. And come playoff time, he is a. He scares me. Here we go. Hedman had 17 goals this year.
I mean, that's a legit threat from the blue line.
Yeah. Oh, big-time legit threat. Kalorn only had 15, but he seems to be he's more built, seems to be, for the playoffs. So, yeah, a ton of firepower.
617-779-0985. We got Jaffe in studio as we continue until 11 o'clock here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
This is where Boston talks hockey. The Sports Hub Hockey Show on the home of the Bees. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub, Ryan Johnston, Billy Jaffe here with you on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Don't forget to download our Extra Ice Time podcast. Billy and I have been doing throughout the playoffs and are going to continue to do throughout the playoffs during the week. We settled on a day yet this week? We figured out...
Well, no, but I think it's a game two is Monday, so Wednesday.
Wednesday's game three, right?
It's either Wednesday or Thursday. I think we do that, because remember, Tuesday. I'm heading to the.
You're traveling on Tuesday, so
I'm gone for 5 days this week at the NHL Network.
All right,
so I miss games three and four.
So. I'm gonna guess Thursday after game three would be our next one. I might make the executive decision on that.
That's fine.
So.
That sounds good to me.
All right.
It's been fun to do.
If you've been looking for it, check it out on 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Yep.
On the .com. It's on iTunes. It's on all those places.
Matt's been joining us. Matt Dolloff has been joining us for a segment. And we just had Ty Anderson, who he ran away from the other station, right? He came over here.
It's not running away. It's running toward. He came into the light.
He sprinted over into the light over here. Good for him. No, it's great having him. When I say ran away, meaning, like, you know, he came to where this is the place to be.
Absolutely.
I mean, now I'm pretending like I'm a sports talk show guy. I mean, what?
No, we embrace.
I'm such an ass.
We embrace the hockey. That's all.
I know.
We embrace the hockey.
I'm kidding. It's all fun. It's all good. No, it's great to have him. So, yeah, the shows have been great. A lot of fun.
Let's go to Alex in the car. You're up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Yeah, actually, I've been listening the whole time. My question originally is an old question. It's like, why are they even playing Tampa Bay? I mean, weren't, Boston and Tampa Bay like the top point getters in the East?
Well,
I was given the information, but I think that's a stupid thing. Otherwise, the winner of this should be coast into the finals.
I don't know about coast, but.
I don't know about coast either, but you know, you have the same thing, Alex, going on in the West with Nashville and Winnipeg.
Yep.
It's one of those years that, it's one of those years where does the league say, oh my God, look at these matchups. This is awesome. Or does the league say, yeah, these are great matchups, but wouldn't we love to have them in the semifinal?
Right. You want them in the conference final.
We
had this discussion at the beginning of the Toronto series, because that was kind of the same thing. Is, you know, the Bruins draw because of the way that this thing is set up and playing through the divisions, they draw a tough matchup in round one, despite the fact that they were the second best team in the regular season.
I know.
And so now you will have gone through, you know, if you make it to the conference final, two really tough matchups and two really good teams that won't have the chance to advance. And I agree with the caller. It said
I do
this
too.
This matchup, if it was going to happen, should be happening in the conference finals. The Nashville Winnipeg matchup, if it was going to happen, should be happening in the conference finals. And you know, the idea that, well, you know, it's just an outlier this year. No, if you set it up the right way, it should always be that way. You shouldn't have your second best team be in danger of being eliminated by your first best team in the second round of the playoffs.
I agree. And I don't this. I understand some people say, well, you get the divisional rivalries. And I kind of say this. Tampa and Boston's a rivalry because of what happened in 11, which was the Eastern Conference Final championship. And meaning it that's where rivalries begin, or playoffs. So it to me, I know you say, well, Boston and Montreal, that's kind of died off a little bit right now. It will rekindle eventually. I'll think it's cyclical. It will.
Look, ultimately, any team that you have a good, intense playoff series against can build a rival. I mean,
Nashville and Anaheim
hate
each other.
Boston fans have a hatred for Vancouver.
That's my point.
Right.
So you know, allergies, excuse me. You would think that the league would say, wait a second, look at all these rivalries that have developed because of playoff series stuff. I don't mind playing more in your division during the regular season. I get it. Come playoff time, it should be 1-8. Number one is the top seed in the conference. Number two is the winner of the other division. That's the way it is.
Yep.
Fair or not fair, you have to have some value to winning your division. Incentive. Then after that, you just seed 3-8. The way it is. Done. Commissioner for a second.
All right. We will continue here with another hour still to come on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. We will talk with Judd Surratt from down in Tampa coming up, and we'll get to more of your calls at 617-779-0985.
This is where Boston talks hockey. The Sports Hub Hockey Show on the home of the Bees. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. Hour number two here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston joined by Billy Jaffe.
Do we have a minute here, or are we going somewhere right away?
Well, we got your roommate on the phone, but...
Oh no! Bring him in. I don't want to get him upset. God knows, you know, I don't want to get him upset.
Judd Surratt, play-by-play voice of the Bruins, here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
He's focused. He's got his routine. I don't want to wrinkle him.
No. I can wait. I can step aside if you got something. I'll just hang on the line.
No. Why don't we bring you in on it? How about this? I was just going to go into I have random thoughts. You know that, Judd. I'm all over the place. I was just looking at things offensively for the Bruins and going against this defense, which is a better D crew than what they saw against Toronto, understatement. And just thinking about how I actually think that maybe that will refocus the top line, which sounds crazy because you say, wait, best line in hockey, what do they need refocusing on? Well, sometimes it's the old try to do too much, particularly the wingers. No dipsy doodle, no this and that, play straight line hockey. That might help them. You can't do the extra stuff here and there, like, you know, some of the guys may try to do at times. If they do that, they're going to be in trouble against this Toronto team because defensively they are better. Do you agree with you? Do you agree, Judd? How you doing, bud?
I'm good. Good morning. I'm sure that there's some truth to that, and I think for the Bruins, maybe simplicity would be a better way to go. You're going to face a group in the Tampa Bay Lightning that features some guys in the back end that you did not see in that first round. Obviously, there's Victor Hedman and there's Ryan McDonagh. But I think Anton Strahlman is one of the most underrated players around the National Hockey League. I had a chance to see him up close and personal in six games in the Stanley Cup Final back in 2015, and he is an outstanding defenseman. He can do a lot of different things for you. Join the rush. He can play well defensively. But I think for the Bruins, get back to your core. Get back to what you do well. Defend well as five-man units. Manage the puck and get the four-line rotation going. And I think that's been spotty, at least through the first seven games here in the playoffs. You know, at one point, maybe it's the top line going, but you don't have the third line going. It's the second line going, maybe you don't have the fourth line going. Let's see if they can get that four-line rotation. That's been a major weapon for them during the course of the season.
All right, Judd, I'll pick up with you where we left off in the last hour, which was how do you feel about the goaltending matchup in this series of Rask versus Vasilevskiy?
Well, I think for Vasilevskiy, he's a wild card in many ways. He won basically his first series as a starter against the New Jersey Devils. But that was a series where he very rarely trailed. In fact, he didn't trail at all heading into the third period of that series. I think it'll be interesting to see how he deals with the pressure of being the number one guy in the playoffs for the first time. As far as Tuukka Rask, I don't think there's any question he realizes that he needs to be better coming off that first series against Toronto. But what I want to see is I want to see the Rask from the first four games. Make every save you're supposed to, make a few more timely saves, and give your team a chance to win. No head scratchers. And I think if the Bruins do that, and I think if they get that out of Tuukka Rask, I think they'll have the upper hand in goaltending.
All right. Speaking of goaltending, I want to go back to 2015 for some perspective. Mm. All right. You just mentioned that. I did that series for the NHL Network and the Bruins and Nesson, I mean, and Strawman was great. But I want to talk about goaltending in that series, Judd, because you were with the Blackhawks organization then. Can you remind mm-hmm. me and the listeners how that first round started for Corey Crawford and how Scott Darling ended up having to play a big factor, and he also had some issues? Can you remind everybody?
All right. So go back to the first round against the Nationals. Corey Crawford was pulled in game one. Scott Darling ended up winning it in a long double overtime game in game one. Game two, Corey Crawford gets to start again. He gets pulled again. Darling then basically took the reins until game six. Darling was pulled, so Nashville was able to get three goalie pulls from the Blackhawks. Crawford came back in. The Blackhawks came from behind and won game six at the United Center and ended up moving on. And then from that point forward, Crawford started to get his game in order. The Blackhawks swept the Minnesota Wild in the next round. Then they beat the Anaheim Ducks and Freddie Anderson in seven games. And he was the difference, a significant difference in the Stanley Cup Final, outplaying Ben Bishop and Andre Vasilevskiy, who ended up coming in relief and picking up a win and getting the start and losing in game four at the United Center.
So are you trying to say that...
I'm saying that I couldn't agree more with everybody that Tuukka has to be better. Okay, let's get over that. We all agree, right? Right?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Done.
Yes.
Done saying that. But the point is that we have short-term memory loss an awful lot about other goalies out there. And I'm a Corey Crawford fan because I think that he is when he's healthy, he's not right now, the right goalie for that Blackhawk team in its prime. But is he the best goalie out there? I don't know, but for that team he was. So to Ryan and to Judd, I'm saying, okay, Rask wasn't great. He was at times, but this in some ways this could mimic that. But, you know, he's just got to elevate his game. But it happens in the playoffs like this.
It does. You know, and Billy, I know you and I have talked about Tuukka Rask in the past. And honestly, it's going to take winning a Stanley Cup or an heroic performance from this point forward going deep into the playoffs to maybe shake some of the question marks.
Judd Zarrad is joining us from down in Tampa. Obviously, defensively, this team has a lot on its plate. We were talking earlier with Bob Beers about some of the offensive talent that Tampa Bay brings and the firepower that they bring, which brings me to the question of Charlie McAvoy. Do you feel like he got better at the end of that series, and do you feel like that knee is troubling him as we get into the second round?
Well, Ryan, I can only go as far as his health. As far as we can tell and as far as what Charlie has said is that the knee is not an issue. So I have to take him at his word at this point. This is the playoffs, and we may not know the true answer to that until the playoffs are over for the Boston Bruins. But listen, he's out there. He is healthy enough to play. And it was certainly, I think he got a mixed bag from Charlie there in the first round. I think there were some times where he got some glimpses of the guy that could move the puck and start the transition game for the Bruins that made him such a valuable component and, in my mind, a Rookie of the Year candidate during the course of the regular season. I think there were other times in Toronto, they focused on him. This was something Bruce Cassidy had mentioned, that teams are now game planning against a guy like Charlie. They went at him all the time. They finished their checks, and I think he had a hard time moving the puck and getting involved in the way that he had done in the past. So it'll be interesting to see, I think like a lot of people, what does it look like from Charlie McAvoy as we get the series started here this afternoon? Is it the guy that we saw during the bulk of the regular season, or is it the guy who's trying to recover from being out of the lineup for just over 4 weeks due to the knee injury, and a guy who also at the tail end of the season, remember in the second half, had to deal with a heart ailment, and it took some time for him to come back and recapture his rhythm. That's something we're all going to have to keep our eyes on here in Game 1.
You mentioned from Tampa, Strawman, a guy that I would assume most Bruins people know about, maybe don't realize how good he is because I'm with you on that too. But another wild card or two from Tampa could be guys. We've already touched on Alex Killorn, played his college hockey here at Harvard, scored 4 in the first round. I'm a huge Andre Palat fan. To me, he's the second coming of a Marian Hossa-like player, Judge, guy you saw for a couple of years with the Blackhawks.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yep.
I think we're going a little too far on Palat. I like Palat. I think, you know, throwing him in the class of a guy who's a shoe-in Hall of Famer, Marian Hossa, I'm not ready
I'm not
to go
saying
there.
He's going to the Hall of Fame. I'm saying he's the type of player. Yeah.
To your point, I think there are some guys, you know, obviously they're the high-end guys like Kucherov and Stamkos. And Tyler Johnson, by the way, has ripped it up in the playoffs. If you look at his numbers, you want to go back to 2015, he had 13 goals. In the playoffs.
He's got 2 goals, though.
Which was first in the league. Yes, mm-hmm. He's off to a slow start. It's a different combination that he's playing with. But they have some depth weapons that are a little different than the Toronto Maple Leafs. Guys like Yanni Gourde, Braden Point, who I would say for probably the first 65 to 70 games of the season, the Tampa Bay Lightning people would tell you he was the team's
yes.
best player. And I think they have a fourth line that has a different complement than the Toronto Maple Leafs. You've got some veteran guys there and some guys who have either played deep or guys who have won Stanley Cups in the form of Chris Kunitz, who's won it 4 different times. So I think that that's a little bit different. For me, it'll be interesting to watch, are those top-end guys for Tampa Bay willing to get to the middle of the ice and pay the price against a Bruins team that is able to pack it in down low?
We're going to talk about some of the individual guys on this Bruins team coming up. One of the guys that stood out, obviously, for a good chunk of that first round series is Jake DeBrusque.
Mm-hmm.
Terrific player and a young player, and really seems like he's enjoying what the Stanley Cup playoffs are all about. I think back to a couple of games ago, getting into a little dust up after a whistle, and just kind of the grin on his face. Like, he really seems to enjoy the a little bit more of a hard-nosed edge to the game.
I think here in the last 4 or 5 games of the playoffs, the best has been brought out of his game. You know, if you think back, Ryan and Billy, to the first 2 games of the series, so the Bruins ended up winning. All right, that first game was a little bit closer, even though the score said 5-1 at the end of the night. The second game was a blowout for the Bruins. But Bruce Cassidy did not play Jake DeBrusque much in the third period in that game. And I think there was a little discussion that went on, and I'm going to have an opportunity to talk to head coach before the game about this, and we'll run it on the pregame show. But from game 3 to game 7, he was a dominant player. And you're starting to see him realize the potential that I think Don Sweeney and some of the scouts saw for a guy like Jake DeBrusque, a guy who can skate, he's wiry, can use his size as a power forward, and he's got some terrific hands and some great hockey sense. And it paid off for the Bruins in 5 goals in that first round.
I talked to Jake about some things that, you know, we've caught him a few times being having a stern talking with, it seemed like, from Bruce Cassidy. And he said, I said, so what is he saying? He says, well, which time? He says, I pretty much get it every game from him. He said, which time? I said, I don't, you know, here or there. He says, you know what? It always comes down to this. You know, I extended my shift here and there sometimes, but move your feet. he's always reminding him, move your feet. And his footwork and Judd, his explosiveness is probably, I think it's an underappreciated. I don't know if you always recognize it because he's not one of those darters on the ice. You know, you mentioned, for instance, Tyler Johnson and a Braden Point from Tampa. They're smaller players. They look like they are darting around. Jake is a powerful player, and when he is moving his feet, he can motor get by guys.
He is, you know, and the way he was able to get that game winner, Billy, where he rocketed up the right side 4-on-4 and just got a step and got some position, dropped the shoulder, protected the puck. That is textbook.
That was Marian Hossa-like.
At that point.
That was Marian Hossa-like.
That was. Absolutely it was. Still not ready to go there.
oh, just do it. Hyperbole.
but I think Jake has been terrific, you know, and maybe one other guy that we really haven't talked about is the guy Danton Heinen, and getting that goal and getting that in the circumstance that he did in the first period of Game 7. Maybe that helps him. And that line moving forward, I think that's one of the lines that has been relatively quiet here for Bruce Cassidy across the first 7 games of the playoffs. Now, they haven't always been together, Riley Nash, David Backes, and Danton Heinen. Let's see what they bring here in this second round, because when they were on during the course of the regular season, they were a big 200-foot line for Bruce Cassidy and a big matchup line.
Yep.
All right, Chubb, we'll let you go on that. Appreciate you checking in this morning and enjoy the call today.
All right, boys. Thanks.
SPF 50, minimum. Minimum.
Especially on the dome.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Judd Surratt, Bob Beers, pregame 2:30, face-off 3 o'clock here today on 98.5 The Sports
Hub. He's having a great time, man. He's doing a great job. He's having a great time. You know, we've known each other forever.
Yeah.
Judd and I.
You went to college together, right?
We did.
Yeah.
We did. That's where we met when I was playing and he was broadcasting. So, ton of fun. And I'm you know, obviously when the team's doing well, better for everybody.
It's better for all of us, absolutely. 617-779-0985. More of your calls coming up here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
This is where Boston talks hockey. The Sports Hub Hockey Show on the home of the Bees, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub, Ryan Johnston and Billy Jaffe here with you on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. 617-779-0985 is the number. We were talking with Judd Surratt a few minutes ago about some of the players and the way that they have performed in this series so far. And you know, I brought up Jake DeBrusk, and he kind of extended that to Danton Heinen, who got benched at one point in the series, comes back and scores a huge goal, obviously, in Game 7. We've seen that from him before,
yep.
Right? You know, kind of give him a little breather, put him back in the lineup and, you know, and see how he responds.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, you know, you hope from your kids like that, but you hope that you don't have to do the old bench react much more.
Right.
That's what separates the really goods to the greats or the goods to the very goods, et cetera. Heinen is a smart hockey player. He's a wonderfully controlled kid. You know what I mean? It's one of those kids that at least externally doesn't allow his emotions to get the best of him. But you could tell that he was, you know, euphoric that he scored that goal. He's a goal scorer. That's what he was at Denver. That's what he was even in Providence. I mean, he's a point producer. That's what he is. And so he needs his cookies. Everybody needs their cookies to feel good. You know what I mean? They want them. But you know, it's a tough league sometimes to get your cookies. Sometimes mama's hiding those cookies. And, you know, he needed to work it. He did. I think, he, you know, to Judd's point, he can, that line, I've been saying it all along, too. I mean, that line, it's going to, for the Bruins to advance through this series, that line is going to have to be, it's going to have to be not just a hope shutdown line, it's going to have to be a reliable shutdown line at some point. Because you're going to absolutely want them creating the matchup at home and taking Bergeron's line away and freeing them up from the point line at home.
Right.
No question. So they're going to have to be the one. And, you know, the fourth line will have some role in that too. But when the Bruins were at their absolute motoring finest this year, that third line controlled the matchup situation, both home and the road. But in particular at home, they controlled the situation from the forward perspective. They controlled it.
And that's something that, you know, the way you're talking about isn't even necessarily going to attract attention because it's not necessarily a scoring role. You're talking more about...
No, but they spent, you know, more time in the offensive zone than they did in the defensive zone against the opponent's best lines for a while, a stretch. And, you know, was it Beersy that talked? I don't remember, but we've been saying the same thing too. Number one line and number four line, relatively speaking, all things being equal, throwing out some mistakes that were made, because there were mistakes, they've done their job. The second and third lines, we haven't touched you than Krejci and Rick Nash.
Well,
or whatever, and,
yeah.
You know, the second and third lines need to do their jobs better in this series. And if they do, I'm confident the Bruins win.
Let's go to Steve. You're up next here with Johnston and Jaffe here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Morning.
Truth be told, I'm a Canadiens fan, and one of the players that interests me on Tampa, we gave up they traded Jonathan Drouin for Sergachev. And I haven't seen a lot of Tampa games, but from what I've seen, he seems to be a pretty well-developed young defenseman. And just what are your thoughts on him and his impact on the series and if Montreal made a huge mistake?
I do think they made a mistake. Yeah, I do. Sorry. I like Sergachev. You know what I like about him? Very similar to another young defenseman that the Bruins have in McAvoy, that he's confident. Oh, is he confident? Now, he's not as complete as Charlie McAvoy, and I'm looking up his minutes, 10.5-minute average. So they're protecting him. They are 10.5-minute average through the first round, folks. They are protecting him because they've got high-end defensemen in the Strahlman, McDonough, and Hedman being the highest of the hires. But Sergachev's got a hell of a shot from the point. I mean, really good shot. He has got decent footwork. He's going to be a mainstay D-man for them for a long time. Now, this is, again, this was something that Steve Yzerman, their GM there, after about a year ago, really knew that he had to address. Knew it. He already had Hedman and he had Strahlman, but he says, I have to get something else, because his bottom pair guy, like a Braden Coburn, who's, you know, a nice defenseman, but at this point in his career, he's lower pair. He needed to go from 3 through 5 and figure that out. And, man, has he done a nice job of bringing in, you know, obviously Ryan McDonough, Girardi. Girardi struggled a bit at times, but Girardi, he's a playoff-savvy vet. He gets it. Mm. So those guys are all in there. And then you bring in Sergachev, this young guy, to become the next wave of defensemen in, let's say, 5 years. It's a hell of a pickup. So good defenseman. Can he impact the series? Sure. I mean, he's gonna have a role. It's not going to be nearly as impactful, though, as the other guys, the Hedmans, McDonoughs, and Strahlman.
But the important thing is that, yes, Montreal did make a mistake.
They screwed up. They did. They made a lot of mistakes.
Mark, you're up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Good morning.
Hey, what's up? What's up, Billy?
What's up, Mark?
How's it going? Hey, two things real quick. First off, you know, I know Tampa plays a different style from Toronto, okay? But do you think Tampa might have taken something from that series with the stretch pass,
sure,
and whatnot, and also the success of Jake DeBrusque? Of course, it has a lot to do with him being on a line with two top players in the NHL, like Rick Nash and David Krejci, that takes the focus off of him, because the opponents are more focused on a Rick Nash and Krejci, which frees up DeBrusque all night long, don't you think, guys?
Well, I think there's definitely there's a respect factor. You know, I know a lot of people are like, oh, Rick Nash didn't score. And I want him to score, too, you know, at even strength. And he's leading. I mean, he's one of the top shot producers. And I'm not even saying shot on goal, overall attempt guys. He's up there as far as the National Hockey League playoffs have gone.
24 shots in 7 games.
Right, 24 shots, and that doesn't include all the other attempts, and he missed a few nets. And, you know, okay, so, you know, people would say, well, the object is to score. I agree, not miss the net. I would love for Rick Nash to have produced more. I'd love for him not to have the -4 next to his name. But I'm going to base a lot of his performance now here in this series. Like, all right, now you gotta come through in some way. Now, if he gets 5 assists and DeBrusque gets the 5 goals again in this series, I'm thrilled with that. If they
just need that
him,
line to be productive,
that's it. That's it. Now, you know, if you look at his history coming into the playoffs in 77 career playoff games, Nash had about 15 or 17 goals. That's it. Now he picked up some more assists, but I'd like to see him continue to play the way that he's playing with just a little bit more production out of that line, no doubt about it. I mean, when it's all said and done, Krejci had 8 points in seven games, and you're kind of scratching your head and you're saying, well, you know what? They kind of mimicked the top line. It was either really good or kind of not existent at times, RJ.
Well, and I want to get more into that because the David Krejci is, and we've talked about this in the past, I mean, when the Bruins have had success in the playoffs in the past, he's been a big part of that.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a very quiet series for the most part from David Krejci.
But
you're right. At the end, he comes out with 8 points, but it didn't feel like it. So we'll get to more on him and more with you coming up, 617-779-0985, as we move into the final half hour of the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
This is where Boston talks hockey. The Sports Hub Hockey Show on the home of the Bees. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. Ryan Johnston joined in studio by Billy Jaffe. As we get you ready for game one of the Bruins and the Lightning this afternoon. 2 o'clock pregame on NESN.
Yep.
With Billy and company, full pregame and postgame on NESN for the game on NBC tonight.
NESN pregame, NESN plus post because the Red Sox will be there. But NESN pre, 2 o'clock.
All right, check your local listings. And
or just go to NESN at 2 o'clock.
No, I'm saying for postgame.
Oh, sorry. Because
I would have flipped over and said, oh, well, Red Sox game.
Yeah, but so. NESN plus.
And, of course, for the coverage as well, we read Joe Haggerty of NBC Sports Boston. He joins us now from down in Tampa. What's up, Hags?
What's going on, Ry? I believe NBC Sports Boston will also have some kind of post-game coverage with your friend and mine, Mike Felger and Tony Amonte, today as well. So.
Excellent. We can hear them rip on Tuukka Rask after the Bruins win the game 4-1. That'd be outstanding.
Well, I mean, that's what you're looking for after Game 7, a huge emotional Game 7.
First thing I wanted to hear after that comeback was how much Tuukka Rask stunk it up. All right, to that end, we talked about, you know, Tuukka, look, he obviously needs to be better, you know, especially against this team and as much firepower as they have. He needs to be better in this series than he was against Toronto. But I think there's a lot of guys on this team that you can say that about. And despite the fact that they won that series, they need to be better against Tampa than they were against Toronto, or they're going to lose this series. And one of the guys that we were just talking about before the last break was, you know, that second line. Jake DeBrusk comes out as has a great series, and you know, and has risen to the occasion. You know, David Krejci is a guy that, despite 8 points in that series, it seemed very quiet for a good chunk of that series, and he can't be quiet against this team.
Yeah, and there were some turnovers he had that hurt the Bruins at tough times as well. And you know, look, if they're going to win against the Tampa Bay Lightning, they need a bunch of things. As you mentioned, they need Tuukka Rask to hit the reset button after that first series and kind of, you know, clear that out and move forward. Very similar to what he did in 2013 when he kind of struggled against Toronto in the first round. They got through it, and then he was much better after that moving forward for most of the postseason. So he's proven that he can do that before, and now he needs to do that again. And it's the same thing with, you know, that David Krejci, Rick Nash combination needs to start connecting and scoring goals in this series. It has to happen if the Bruins are going to win. If they're, you know, as reliant in the second round against Tampa on that top line scoring and carrying the offense as they were against Toronto for, you know, long stretches of that series, then they're not going to be able to beat the Tampa Bay Lightning because they're a lot better defensively. They have much better defensive personnel, guys like Ryan McDonagh and Victor Hedman. And I think they're going to be able to, at times, certainly not for the whole series, but at times I think they're going to be able to much more effectively neutralize Bergeron, Marchand, and Pasternak than Toronto was able to do. You know, even when they held them off the score sheet, they were still getting tons of chances, tons of shots on net. I think Toronto might be able to slow that down and neutralize that a lot more than Toronto could. And that means you have to have your secondary scoring, your second line, your other offensive players step up and produce. And they're going to need Jake DeBrusk, I think, to continue to play the way that he played in the first round and be one of those guys. And they're going to need that Krejci-Nash combo to step up and score. They're going to need more from David Backes, and they're going to need more from Danton Heinen. And I think it, you know, the fourth line, I think, was pretty productive in that series. But, you know, your other guys that did things for you offensively in this regular season, you need them against Tampa because it's all hands on deck. The Bruins, the underdog in this series, and they're going to need to be really firing on all cylinders to beat the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Billy mentioned earlier how many shots and shot attempts that Rick Nash had in that series, but he comes out of it with one goal, one assist, and a minus four over seven games.
Play too.
Yeah. I mean, what have you thought of what Rick Nash has brought to the table in that opening series?
Yeah, he had shots on that. He had some chances. There were times where you really liked what he did. I liked when he was taking the puck to the net, as he did a few times, and trying to create offense and getting quality shots. I liked that. But I don't think he did it enough. I think he needs to do more of getting it close to the net, getting his body there, especially during five-on-five play, and really, you know, fighting that battle in front of the net. You know, he's still a quick player for a big man. He doesn't have that Jake DeBrusk speed that we saw in that bull rush for that game-winning goal in Game 7. But I would like to see him try to, you know, carry guys to the net a little bit more and try to use that size and strength to get closer to the net to get the real quality chances that you're going to be able to score on. You know, there were times where he would be, you know, sort of like just taking testing shots that were a little distant and deeper away from the net. And for him, I think if he's going to score, he needs to get closer, and he needs to use his best assets at this point in his career, which are clearly his strength on the puck and his size and strength around the net, where it's going to take multiple guys to, you know, discourage him, take him away from the net, and take up space with him to distract them from other guys. So he could wreak a lot of havoc if he gets to the front on a consistent basis. And if you watch, you know, when David Backes has scored in that first-round series, he was, like, right in front of the net, and that's where it was coming from. So I think if Nash does that a little bit more, you're probably going to see the offense start to come for him. But, you know, there is some encouragement in the fact that I think he ended the series like third or fourth on the team in shots on net, which, you know, tells you at least he's getting the puck and they're not being able to take it away from him, which is, you know, the bread and butter of his game.
So what do you think the Tampa Bay Lightning do the best? Like, what do you, you know, when your take on the Lightning and what and where they're going to create the most issues for the Bruins?
Well, I think defensively they're going to create issues, like I said, because they're going to be able to hold down that top line. And I also think, you know, they're deeper, even deeper forward-wise, I think, than Toronto was. And I think they're going to create some issues for the Bruins' defense as well. You know, they've got a lot of good forwards. They've got guys that can score. They've got guys that are experienced. They certainly have more of an experience factor in big games and in the playoffs than the Maple Leafs do. You know, they're a formidable opponent. You know, the one area where the Bruins are going to be able to do a lot of damage is, I think, on special teams on the power play. You know, I know Tampa's penalty kill was better against the Devils, but how much of that was the Devils not being able to score, and how much of that was the Tampa penalty kill? They were 27th in the NHL during the regular season on the PK. And I both teams have high-powered power plays, but the Bruins have Zdeno Chara as a penalty killer and have Adam McQuaid as a penalty killer and have Patrice Bergeron and, you know, have players that I think are going to be able to more effectively hold down that high-powered Tampa Bay man advantage, where if the Bruins can get on the power play, I think they're going to be able to do a lot of damage, and I think special teams could really tip in their favor in this series. Is that going to be enough for them to win the entire series? I don't know, but I think it's one sort of soft underbelly area for the Tampa Bay Lightning, even though they're so good, that you're going to be able to go after and have a distinct advantage in the series. And it's going to be interesting, A, to see how that plays out with the Bruins' power play, and B, how much they can get on it. And you know, if Tampa is going to play really careful, tight, disciplined games, kind of like Toronto did, especially up in their building, to not allow the Bruins to get on that power play.
Joe Haggerty, NBC Sports Boston, of course, and we appreciate your time this morning.
You got it, boys. Take care. Should be a fun one today.
It should be. We're all hoping for a nice, fun one in the nice weather.
I hope for a fun one every day.
We all do. 617-779-0985. We'll finish up with your calls coming up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
This is where Boston talks hockey. The Sports Hub Hockey Show on the home of the Bees. 98.5 The Sports Hub.